On that earlier report that Vice President Lyndon Johnson had suffered a heart attack during or after today's incident, Senator Mansfield, when I told him this just a moment ago, telephoned Ralph Dungan at the White House. An immediate check was made, and the report from the White House on the story that Vice President Johnson suffered a heart attack is that it is not so. This report not true. This is John Rolfson, ABC at the Senate, switching you now to John Scali in Hawaii.
The plane carrying Secretary Rusk and five other cabinet officers to Japan has turned back and will return to Honolulu prior to flying back to the United States immediately. Word of the attempted assassination of the president was relayed to Secretary Rusk by Admiral Felt as soon as it happened. Felt is commander-in-chief of all American forces in the Pacific. Admiral Felt talked by emergency phone to Rusk, who immediately decided to call off the scheduled goodwill visit to Japan. The plane is due to return to Hickam Air Force Base at 10:30 a.m. Honolulu time, or 3:30 p.m. New York time. Under the circumstances, Rusk will want to be back at his State Department desk to personally command the nation's foreign policy. It has long been a cardinal principle of the Secretary that moments of deep emergency, when the nation's attention is focused elsewhere, provide a tempting opportunity for the Soviets to make some kind of move. The plane on which Mr. Rusk was flying also carries White House Press Secretary Pierre Salinger, Treasury Secretary Dillon, Commerce Secretary Hodges, Interior Secretary Udall, Agriculture Secretary Freeman, and Labor Secretary Wirtz. This is John Scali, ABC, Honolulu.
The President of the United States is dead. Assassinated today in a burst of gunfire in Dallas as his motorcade moved through the city. Texas Governor John Connally shot down with him. Latest word from Dallas says that Governor Connally underwent an operation for a gunshot wound in the chest at 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Further information on the Texas governor we do not have at the moment. Mrs. Kennedy was not hurt. The president is dead. He was 46. His first term in the White House when assassinated. Mrs. Kennedy was with him when he was shot. She cried, oh no, grabbed him as he fell. Mrs. Connally was also in the same car. She held her husband as he slumped to the floor of the car. Let's pause 5 seconds for station identification. This is Don Gardner in the ABC Radio Newsroom in New York. What is the world thinking of now in this hour of tragedy for the United States? We've heard from London just a few moments ago and ABC's Bill Sheehan. Now, on the line, the circuit to London, to the circuit to Berlin, and here is Ben Lacey. Ben?
President Kennedy's death has left the German nation limp. Chancellor Erhard's visit to Washington, scheduled to start on Sunday, will surely be postponed. Erhard had counted on this meeting with Kennedy to give new impetus to a campaign to speed up integration of the common market and increase Atlantic cooperation along the lines that both men discussed when they met in West Germany earlier this year. I can't begin to explain the shock that this is having on the Berliners. I keep seeing those people massed in front of City Hall last June to hear President Kennedy tell them, "I am a Berliner." Nothing could have given them more courage than those words. Now this tragic news of President's death has sunk this city into grief. This is Ben Lacey in Berlin.
The world around us mourns the loss of our president. Vice President Johnson has now started making his plans to be sworn into office. He has left the hospital. The vice president, though he seemed to have been wounded, was not hurt in the assassination of President Kennedy today. The president died in the operating room at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, 1 hour and 6 minutes ago. He lived 35 minutes after the assassin's bullet crashed into his body. The hospital has told us that Mr. Kennedy died of a bullet lodged in his brain. Mrs. Kennedy was there when the president passed away. The last rites of the Roman Catholic Church had been given to the president. It was from the priests who administered the last rites that we heard the first word that the president had died. Then additional word came from down in Dallas. and then confirmation from Washington that the president was dead. Vice President Johnson, our next president, was not injured in the assassination of President Kennedy today. There's been no immediate word on when Mr. Johnson will take the oath of office. It can be expected to be administered quite shortly. As Mr. Kennedy died at Parkland Hospital, there was a futile, frantic effort to try to save his life. Lying wounded in the same hospital, the Texas governor, John Connally, cut down in the same fusillade. Connally and his wife were riding with the president and Mrs. Kennedy. As the bullet crashed into the president's body, the first lady jumped up, grabbed her husband, cradled him as he slumped down, his blood-smeared head in her arms. The presidential limousine under police and Secret Service escort rushed to the hospital. It still took them several minutes to get there. The Texas governor slumped in his seat beside the president. Mrs. Connally, traveling in the same car, cradled her husband. An unprecedented dragnet of the city of Dallas out. The police believe that the fatal shots were fired by a white man, about 30, slender build, weighing about 165 pounds, standing 5 feet 10 inches tall. Murder weapon reportedly a 30-30 rifle. One was found, a foreign make, right at the scene where it is believed the assassination took place. The police have one person in custody. They're questioning him. This is a sad time for our nation. We've heard reports from here, there, and everywhere around the world. There'll be more reactions coming into our ABC newsroom just shortly. But once again, I would like to repeat for those who may have tuned in just a little bit late, President Kennedy died of an assassin's bullet at 2 o'clock Eastern Time this afternoon, 1 hour and 9 minutes ago. How did the news reach Hyannisport? Up there where the president's mother and father are. A workman told the president's father and mother in Hyannisport today that the president had been shot while visiting Dallas. The workman had been listening to the radio. That was the first report that the president's father and mother had of it when their workman on the estate came to them. At the United Nations, the Secretary General, U Thant, is about to speak. We take you to the UN. To the United Nations and Secretary General U Thant, who in this horrible hour for the United States wishes to speak for the world and the United Nations.
A minute of silence.
The Secretary General has called upon all of the delegates to the United Nations to bow their heads in prayer for a minute of silence. Because we know that you, our listeners, feel the same as the delegates from the world feel on the loss of the President of the United States, let us too take a moment of silent prayer. Amen. The president is dead. Let us find out reaction in Rome. ABC's John Cassily on circuit from Rome. John?
Pope Paul VI is shocked, grieved, filled with horror. We've just spoken with his secretary. Twice now the Pope has gone to his private chapel to pray. He's preparing a message for the Kennedy family. American cardinals and 250 bishops here for the Ecumenical Council will hold special prayers and services for the president in Rome. Negotiations to form a new Italian government were immediately suspended here until further notice. Italian radio is carrying the news by the minute, interrupting all programs. Every newspaper in Italy is preparing extras, and this nation mourns. John Casserly, ABC Rome.
All the world mourns our loss. While it may seem a little bit redundant, Some of you may have just turned on your radios. The sad news from Dallas, Texas, that President Kennedy was assassinated today. He died in surgery an hour and 12 minutes ago. A single shot through the right temple into the brain took the life of the 46-year-old chief executive of the United States. Shot as he rode in his open car in downtown Dallas, waving and smiling to a crowd of 250,000 who had turned out in Dallas to greet the president. He'd arrived at Love Airport only a few minutes before that. Vice President Lyndon Johnson, our nation's new president, the moment he is sworn in, was in the same cavalcade, but a number of car lengths behind. Vice President Johnson was not hurt. Mrs. Kennedy was not hurt. But Texas Governor John Connally is now undergoing surgery for a bullet lodged in his chest in the Parkland Hospital in Dallas. Obviously terribly shocked, Vice President Johnson. He has a record of heart illness, taken off under heavy guard from the hospital. He's left the hospital now. He'll be sworn in as quickly as possible. Johnson will become the 36th president of the United States. Mr. Kennedy is the fourth president of the United States to be slain while he was in office. Once again, may I repeat, Mrs. Kennedy, though riding in the same car with the president, was not hurt. She cradled her husband in her arms as the Secret Service and the police sped the president's motorcade to the hospital. We're 35 minutes after the bullet crashed into the president. He was dead. And the last rites of the Catholic Church administered to him. More on the president's death. Let us switch now to Washington and ABC's Irv Chapman.
Here at the White House, the American flag was lowered to half-staff above the executive mansion a short while ago. Church bells at St. John's across Lafayette Square were pealing. Several hundred people gathered on Pennsylvania Avenue to prevent a major traffic jam. Both cars and pedestrians, Washington police, are trying to keep things moving. Extra security precautions are in force. White House guards are checking and double-checking credentials of those who enter. In the lobby of the executive wing, members of the White House staff and reporters are clustered about, looking stunned, awaiting developments. In the press office, with Press Officer Pierre Salinger and all his assistants in Texas, one of the president's legal aides, Lee White, is manning the desk and trying to answer questions, but he has little new information to offer. He does not yet know whether the late president's remains are to be returned immediately to Washington or what arrangements will be made to install President Lyndon Johnson. Mr. White said, as far as he knew, the two Kennedy children are still here at the White House. The atmosphere is tense, unhappy, nervous, busy. A scene we've not had here since April 12, 1945, when Franklin Roosevelt died in office. This is Irv Chapman, ABC, the White House.
Then here in the ABC newsroom in New York, we've received another urgent story from Dallas, Texas, which says, this adds a bit of mystery to the entire thing, a Secret Service agent and a Dallas policeman were shot and killed today some distance from the area where the president was assassinated. No other information is available on that report, except the bare facts that a Secret Service agent, according to this report, and a Dallas policeman were shot and killed some distance from the area where the president today was assassinated. One of the officers of the Secret Service, Lieutenant Kaminsky, says that the assassin's weapon appears to have been a high-powered rifle or a Japanese rifle. He says it's about a .20 caliber, a rifle with a scope on it, has a telescopic scope. A .30-30 rifle, or one answering that description, was picked up on in the area where the attack was made today. It is possible that the sniper may have fired from a building near the area, and the entire building where the sniper might have been located was immediately evacuated. People working in the building were working in the building at the time. Dallas Inspector Jade Sawyer said that the police found the remains of a fried chicken dinner and some paper on the fifth floor, and it indicated that apparently the person had been there for quite some time. First, after the fate of the president, the stricken president's Secret Service driver raced immediately from the scene at top speed, heading for the nearest hospital, trying to get the presidential party out of range of any further gunfire and danger. President Kennedy Texas Governor Connally, their wives, they were all riding together in the transparent plastic roof of the car, according to this report, had been removed for the motorcade. Secret Service agents riding with the president and in the second car following close behind immediately drew their pistols and automatic weapons. However, they were unable to get a shot at the gunman. This late word that shortly the president's body will be flown to Washington, it undoubtedly to lie in state at the White House for a period of time. And at the moment, plans are being made for the swearing-in of Vice President Lyndon Johnson. He, according to the laws of the land, is the normal person who would take over in the event of the loss of the President of the United States. No details have been announced as to when the Vice President will be sworn in. He and Mrs. Johnson have left the hospital under heavy guard. He is now the President of the United States. Soon after the president, President Kennedy, was assassinated in Dallas, a white man in his mid-20s, according to this report, arrested in the Riverside section of Fort Worth in the shooting of a Dallas policeman. This man was described as black curly hair, wearing a red shirt. He denied that he was connected with the assassination of the president. Now let me call back to mind for just a moment this rather cryptic report that came in off the wires just a few moments ago, which had a dateline of Dallas, Texas, that a Secret Service agent and a Dallas policeman were shot and killed today some distance from the area where the president was assassinated. Now this story in from Fort Worth, which says that a Dallas policeman was shot soon after the president was assassinated. Whether these two stories have any association with the assassination of the president today, it is hard to say, but they are rather cryptic. There is an air of mystery about it. John Scali at the state out in Honolulu, he's been traveling with Secretary of State Dean Rusk, has reported to us that six members of the president's cabinet were on their way to Japan when the president was assassinated today. They were an hour and a half out of Honolulu. The cabinet members advised of the death of the president ordered their pilot to immediately turn back. They'll be back in Washington certainly by tomorrow. The president's cabinet, those six members, were going to meet members of the Japanese cabinet. In that party, Secretary of State Rusk, Secretary of Commerce Luther Hodges, Secretary of Labor Willard Wirtz, the Secretary of the Interior, Stuart Udall, and the Secretary of Agriculture, Orville Freeman. They were traveling with their wives. They are now on their way back to Washington. In the nation's capital, on Capitol Hill, there is reaction from one of the members of the Senate. The Democratic Senator from West Virginia, longtime member of Congress, Senator Jennings Randolph. Here is his report from Washington.
President John Kennedy is gone from the position of Chief Executive of the United States, but he will be remembered always by Americans, and I think by freedom-loving peoples throughout the world. I was in the Senate participating in the debate on the Library Services Act. Senator Morse and Senator Prouty and I were discussing the bill. And it was at that moment, with the president's brother, Ted Kennedy, presiding over the Senate, that the news of the assassin's bullet and the possible death of the president was brought to the chamber, and Mr. Riddell spoke to the presiding officer, Ted Kennedy. The Senate recessed, and then we waited quietly and fearfully for what, in a few moments, although it seemed like hours, brought the word of the president's passing. West Virginians knew John Kennedy very, very well. I think West Virginians loved him, and not because he was a Democrat, not perhaps even because he was a president, but they came to know him as a young man who seemed, they believed, to have them at heart. Their problems were his problems, and he went through our valleys and over our hills, and he talked to these people, and they had confidence in him. I think I speak for West Virginians, not in any partisan sense, when I say they will be more than saddened by his death. It will be, in a sense, a tragedy to them. It's difficult to say more. I shall remember him as a friend. I shall cherish him, as will all Americans, I believe, of good intent, as a truly inspired and dedicated leader.
Senator Jennings Randolph of West Virginia, Democratic member of Congress, with some observations on the assassination and death today of President Kennedy in Dallas, Texas.